Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Joe. I am Ben. Listen, it is so much more than a Football Friday. Days like today, days like tomorrow, and this weekend, a reminder why October is the best sports month of the entirety of the calendar year. We've got a Game 5 tonight in L.A. in Major League Baseball postseason action and a heated Southern California rivalry between the Dodgers and the Padres with a spot in the NLCS against the Mets on the line. Tomorrow night in primetime, it's the Guardians hosting the Tigers for a berth to the ALCS and a matchup against the New York Yankees. We've got one of the best college football slates of the entire year tomorrow on a Saturday, and a great NFL weekend ahead as well. And Joe, we will now start our preview of the full Sunday slate here on a Football Friday on TEL.
Yeah, it's I'm looking forward to it, Ben. This is the time of year where so much is going on. It's a lot of fun, but we are right in smack in the middle here. It's starting to get good. College football, a lot less room for error for a lot of top 25 teams, Ben. These are huge games in week seven of the college football slate.
In week seven, Joe, it is kind of crazy to say there are additional bye weeks. We play technically to week 14, but we are basically midway through the year. A lot of teams have already played six games. Everybody in the country has played at least five. We are nearing that halfway point. And as we near the halfway point in October and November in the college football playoff rankings in this new era, the magnitude is amplified. Let's go to the National Football League on Sunday. 12 games once again, four teams on a bye this week in week number six. And for a second consecutive week, we start our Sunday bright and early across the pond in London between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Chicago Bears. The Jags, very comfortable in London. They have played there the most of any NFL organization. Jacksonville, though, a slight underdog in London, but we're talking a near pick'em price on that money line against the Bears. 44.5 is the total. Last week, Joe, the Jags, their first victory of the year, holding on despite a two-touchdown lead under 6 minutes remaining against Joe Flacco and the Indianapolis Colts. Chicago, for a second consecutive week, a third time this year, victorious at home inside Soldier Field in the Windy City, where the Bears have been a favorite in all three home wins, and they have covered the number in all three as well. What gives tomorrow in London between Jacksonville and Chicago?
I think, Ben, actually, I do like Jacksonville in this game here, and I think the markets agree with me because it was plus two. I'm seeing now 1.5s, even ones starting to pop up here. And there are some injury concerns on the Bears' defensive side. I know their starting safety did not travel, Brisker, to London because of a concussion. I think that's going to open up huge opportunities for Brian Thomas, who is a guy that with the deep ball, make no mistake about it, and nobody attempts more passes over 20 yards than what Trevor Lawrence does and Peterson there. And I love this kid, Brian Thomas. I think he's a big game guy. I also, and I have not been a fan of one Caleb Williams on this show, Ben, you know that, but I got to give credit where credit is due. The last 2 weeks, he looked absolutely lost originally against the blitz, but in the last 2 weeks, He looks much more comfortable. The good news for him is that I don't anticipate him having any pressure because Jacksonville can't get to the quarterback. So I don't see that being a problem. When I looked at this, I think there's going to be points in this game, Ben. Way more points. Both teams coming off 30-plus point performances. I absolutely think Jacksonville should be better than what their record is. They have too many weapons on offense there to be that inept. And sometimes, Ben, nobody is more comfortable in London than this Jacksonville team who practically has lived there over the last decade. So I'm going to go with the first half over. I think it was 21.5. 22 points. I got this thing. I can see a 14-10 kind of situation, 17-10 kind of thing. I think both teams are going to keep their foot on the gas, and points are coming early and often in this game.
I like that look, Jovinary. I really do. In terms of Jacksonville's familiarity with London and Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where they play tomorrow, last year the Jags played multiple games in London in a season. They were a perfect 2-0, including an outright victory over the Bills as a 5.5-point dog around this time in the middle of October. That's when things were good for the Jags. They were off to an 8-3 start. We know how the year ended up, and we know how this year has started. The Bears over in their recent two games, both at home in the Windy City, under in both of their two games on the road. 0-1 against the spread away from the Windy City so far this season. And Joe, it should not be a surprise that when teams are winning games, their star players and their quarterback are playing better. Caleb Williams, multiple interceptions in each of the Bears' two losses this year, sacked 11 times in those two L's. In the three wins for the Bears, three touchdowns, not a single interception, and sacked only six times. He threw for 304 yards and two touchdowns last week against Carolina. And a key, Joe, for this Chicago team in their last two wins at home has been the resurgence of DeAndre Swift on the ground. He has been so much better. A run game complements a young quarterback, by the way. Caleb Williams, since the merger in the NFL way back in 1970, the best record for a number one overall pick in his rookie season through five games. The Bears are 3-2, but I do think it's a close game to start Sunday. So we start Sunday, and then we go to a marquee matchup in the afternoon hours. America's game of the week. It's Detroit and Dallas at the Star. Dallas has not won at home this year. They entered the season on a 16-game home regular season win streak. Joe, the Cowboys are catching 3 inside Jerry World. Are you surprised by the number against the road favorite Lions?
No, I'm not, because that defense, once again, is an absolute hot mess. They have every edge rusher they have is hurt. I still don't get me started. I have no idea how Pittsburgh did not win that game on Sunday night, but that's a story for a different day. and listen, if you get that version of Dak where he's going to turn the ball over like he did, and the Cowboys, I think, are not going to be able to come back against this Detroit team if they have to become one-dimensional. I don't expect, Dowdle to have another close to 100-yard performance. They can't run the ball still. And the other problem with the Cowboys going up against an offense like Detroit is indoors, Detroit, track meet, all of a sudden you're down 2 scores. What is Dallas going to do? They can't grind it out here. They don't have the pieces on defense. They're thin on every level. So I don't see how they're going to be able to do anything if they're not in front in this game, which I don't see happening against Detroit. So I agree. Detroit, as currently constructed, should be the favorite in Dallas, given all the injuries and their inability to be able to run the ball consistently.
Since Dan Campbell took over the reins in 2021, Joe, there is no better cover team in the National Football League than Detroit. They are 40-18 against the spread. Early on, it was oftentimes as the underdog. Since the start of last year, as the favored side, No better cover team than that of the Lions. Detroit, 14-6 against the spread. Technically, the Bears and the Colts have a better cover percentage as a favorite since the start of a season ago, but they've been booked as a dog 8 times or less. 20 times for the Lions, 14-6 against the number. We will look at these two teams on the other side of the break. We'll talk about an interesting primetime game at MetLife for Sunday Night Football between the Bengals and the Giants, as well as we continue to dive through the Sunday slate here on the Early Line. It is now officially a Football Friday on Sports Grid. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A huge NFC showdown tomorrow at the Star in Dallas between the Cowboys and the Lions. Again, Detroit this year off to a great start in the NFC North. They are 4-1. The Cowboys 3-2, with all three wins coming away from the Star. Detroit has been the favorite in every single game this year. They have covered in all four of their victories. The NFC North is the best division in football. All five teams above 500. Nobody other in the National Football League in any of the other seven divisions have more than two teams that have a winning record. So, Joe, how will your evaluation of both Detroit and Dallas potentially change after the result on Sunday? Again, the Lions, a road favorite at the Star with the highest total of the weekend, 52 and a hook.
Yeah, and it makes all total sense here. We're dealing with two teams that love to throw the ball. We're also, ironically enough, Ben, we're dealing with two teams that have the highest third down conversion rate in the NFL. Second in the NFL are the Lions. Third are the Cowboys. You know, Cowboys gain almost 77% of their yards by passing it. That is what we're going to get here. Both of these teams combined average about 128 plays a game. There is going to be multiple opportunities for points to be scored in this game. And listen, totals over 50, Ben, this year have not exactly been crushing the over. They have fallen woefully short so far here through the first 5 weeks of the season. I don't know that this one, like the one last night also, I don't know that this one is going to fall short of the 50. It's high for a reason. I think that eventually turns around. No way would I sweat out an under with these two offenses.
Dallas's defense has struggled. We haven't seen the Cowboys now in this kind of matchup against an elite opponent. We'll see how it plays out. Again, the Cowboys winning outright as a road underdog last week in Pittsburgh. Two of their three wins as a road underdog, and their time as a road favorite in New York against the Giants, they did not cover by the hook. Speaking of the Giants, this will be their 21st consecutive game as an underdog. And Joe, in the previous 20, Brian Daboll's had these boys competitive, 11-8-1 against the spread. Sunday Night Football at MetLife. It's the Giants and the Bengals, 3.5-point spread in favor of Cincy. A 1-4 team laying more than a field goal on the road in primetime. What say you?
Yeah, well, let's face it here. Once again, when you're talking about Cincinnati, it's not a matter of if they'll score. It's just a matter of how many they will score. The question, once again, with the Bengals, and this is really the stat that I found here, Ben, tells you everything you need to know about the Bengals defense. No defense gets teams to punt less than the Cincinnati Bengals. And when you are dead last in forcing punts, Ben, as a defense, that is not a good sign. And I do think they're going to get better. This kind of offense here with the Giants, very hit or miss, very one-dimensional. I think it was great what they did with Seattle, but congratulations. Look at what the 49ers, a more than competent offense without a lot of key weapons, They dropped almost 40 points on the Seattle defense. What in the world is Cincinnati's offense going to drop here? I think they're going to have a whole lot of opportunities here to score a ton of points. It's Cincinnati all day for me. I think the Giants come back down to reality. Great win against Seattle, but now let's not get crazy here, Giant fans. This is all the Bengals to try and get back into the race in the AFC North.
Listen, and they still have an opportunity, Joe, despite how dreadful a 1-4 start is as we enter week 6 around the National Football League. Only 6 of the 16 teams in the conference have a winning record. The conference we expected, it might take 10 or 11 wins to even contend for a wild card berth, does not seem to be the gauntlet we had anticipated before the year got underway. I think you could make an argument, though, the best game of the weekend is in the Charm City on Sunday. Don't compare Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson. That's from one of the two former Heisman Trophy winners in this matchup. It's the Commanders and the Ravens. Jaden Daniels, a historic start to his NFL career. Lamar Jackson playing like the reigning NFL MVP as of late. The Flock, after a winless 0-2 start, have won 3 straight. They have covered in all 3 as a favorite of 3 points or less. They're laying 6.5 at home against the Commanders, a 4-1 Washington team. Joe, is the game more competitive than that nearly touchdown spread might say?
Yeah, I think it is. I do think, of course, the Ravens are rolling right now offensively. A very suspect Bengals defense on the road, Ben, and they, you know, they dropped plenty of points in there. This Commanders defense statistically is just as bad as the Bengals defense on so many different levels. I think Baltimore points are going to be available to them a lot in this game. And Washington, I don't think any of what they're doing is a fluke. Daniel seems very calm. He is a guy that can absolutely lead this offense. His legs make him a dual threat, just like Lamar. It makes it very hard to game plan here for them. The blitz doesn't seem to bother him. Great, great offensive game planning here by you-know-who there for Jaden Daniels. To me, this should be the highest scoring game of the week. I know we think we're going to get points in that Dallas-Detroit game, but I'd be shocked if we don't get just as many points in this game here. I think this is a firefight. I think it's going to be one of the more exciting games of the weekend.
Listen, the Ravens have not been a great defense so far this year, allowing more than 25 points per game, bottom 8 around the NFL. Washington better the last 2 weeks. The Cardinals game a little bit fluky. The Browns are not going to provide much offensively. Washington has gone over, though, in 4 of 5 games this year. They have also covered in all 4 wins. They have been an underdog 3 times. They are 2-1 against the spread. The only loss, the only non-cover, week number 1 as a road underdog of about 3.5-4 points against the Buccaneers. Here are the quarterbacks facing off. A 2-time NFL MVP and 2 Heisman Trophy winners. Jaden Daniels, 224.5 for his passing yards prop, 48.5 on the ground, 221.5 for Lamar, 55.5 on the ground. Plenty more from the Sunday slate up next on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some interconference intrigue, and then a couple of big matchups in the NFC to preview here on this Football Friday on Sports Grid. Joe, we start in Philadelphia. The Eagles off a bye, and maybe desperately needed that bye, albeit early in the season, against a Browns team that is struggling. The Browns are 1-4, and Joe, if you needed any indication, don't just listen to me. Emphasize struggling. It's a 9.5-point spread in favor of the Birds in Philly on Sunday. Is that too big of a number for this spot?
No, there's no number big enough when it comes to the Browns offensively, who can't, you know, hit water if they fell out of a boat here, Ben, and we know this. Also, the ironic thing is, as bad as they have been offensively, certainly throwing the ball, and Deshaun Watson, they never play from in front, so they always have to drop back and throw the ball. His numbers are so bad, but what makes it even worse, Ben, is that they have played the single worst group so far on their schedule. They have played the worst teams defensively against the pass in the NFL. So they haven't even played anybody good enough that can actually defend the pass yet, and they still are averaging the worst numbers across the board offensively throwing the ball. How is that going to get any better against Vic Fangio and Philadelphia in this spot here? And by the way, they will have their outside weapons back. Brown will be back, of course. Yep. We know that Jalen Hurts will have all his full complement. Barkley should have no problem running it right down the throat of this team. I mean, call me crazy here. This game is over early. I think Philadelphia in the first half at any price is probably worth it. And, oh, yeah, I'll take the Browns team total under as well. I don't think they get the 14 points. I don't think it's even close in this game here, Ben.
You would assume Devontae Smith back as well, Joe. This is a spot for Philadelphia to win comfortably, to win by double digits. That's what the odds makers expect. The Browns have been abysmal, and I mean abysmal this season. 1-4 against the spread. They have not covered in any of their losses this year, twice as a dog. And, yeah, Deshaun Watson has been worse than mediocre. Subpar would be a compliment to describe this creep's play at the quarterback position. But he's also been sacked 26 times. No other team in the NFL has allowed at least 20 sacks so far this season. And you would think Philadelphia's front can get after it. A spot the Eagles need to deliver, I would expect them to. Here's a great-looking game, Joe, in my estimation. Sunday afternoon in Lambeau. The Packers, a 5.5-point favorite against the Arizona Cardinals. Green Bay going on the road last week to L.A., knocking off the shorthanded Rams. The first win for Jordan Love in a start this year. Green Bay is 3-2. Arizona, though, 5.5 points in this matchup with how profitable 5.5-point dogs have been this year and how good Arizona has been as an underdog since the start of last season feels a little bit steep for my liking.
Yeah, it does, but boy, oh boy, it feels like this has got let down written all over it for Arizona here that upset win against the 49ers. I mean, good stuff. Congrats. But once again, I do think that Green Bay and Jordan Love, I think this is another one of these games against that young defense at home of the Cardinals. I think they're going to be able to throw the ball. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I think they're going to be able to name their score once again. And I do think that the defense of Green Bay will limit Kyler Murray and the offense here. It's the battle of the defenses. I don't think it's close. Green Bay has got the better defense at home. Yeah, I like Green Bay a lot in this spot.
The Cardinals are 11-9 against the spread as a dog since the start of last year. Two outright victories as an underdog already this season. But yeah, Joe, I would have to agree. Also, the Cardinals allowing nearly 148 yards per game on the ground. That's fifth worst in the NFL. I would expect to see Josh Jacobs play a big, big role. Joe, can the Carolina Panthers do anything? They're taking on the Falcons in an important NFC South weekend. The Bucs play the Saints. The Panthers host the Falcons. This spread, 6.5 in favor of Atlanta. Should it be a comfortable win for the Dirty Birds?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing comfortable ever betting, you know, Kirk Cousins and this spot on the road as a big fit. No, this has got trap written all over it, Ben. All over it.
Listen, the Panthers have been an underdog in every single game since the start of last year. 5-15-2 against the spread, but it does feel a little bit trappy in a divisional showdown. Also over in all three games. And the ultimate started for Football Friday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Football Friday always includes Mike Blewett live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Big Blue, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here. You will be here for the next half hour, for the next three consecutive segments to get everybody ready for the Sunday slate in week number six, the second weekend in October. How fired up are you?
I'm very excited. We obviously have big matchups between Detroit and Dallas, and a lot of other games that Joe and I, honestly, regardless of the games that are on the slate, Joe and I have a lot of fun, and we're exhausted by the end of the 3.5 hours, but in a good way. And I think we've tried to teach people our method in in-game betting, which is trying to find some value for you, particularly early in these games when the spreads swing way too much based off of an early score in these games.
NFL football in game live on Sunday afternoon with Mike Blewett and Joe Ranieri starting at 1 p.m. Eastern time through the conclusion of that early window of games. Blewett week six starting last night in Seattle between the 49ers and the Seahawks. San Francisco winning and covering comfortably 36-24 as a 3.5-point road favorite. Both Joe and I have said that if the 49ers are going to be the NFC favorites and a Super Bowl front runner, last night is a game, despite on a short week, despite against a divisional foe, you got to go out there and win. And it's what San Francisco did. What did the 49ers show you last night on Thursday Night Football?
I think that, first of all, another primetime over. So we've seen a lot of high scoring games in primetime this year, particularly the last few weeks. But I think that we have to concede that the Niners have dealt with a lot of injuries. And but for a bad second half against Arizona, they'd probably be sitting here at 4-2. That was a very fluky second half. So at 3-3, considering the amount of injuries that they've had so far, for them to go on the road, I think was a really good proving point, as you guys had already stated. I don't think my opinion of the Niners has changed much. We have seen slow starts from these Shanahan teams before. Very often they are injury related. We'll see if we get McCaffrey back in any meaningful way, but we're getting other guys involved too. Isaac Garendo with a big run last night. Jordan Mason was efficient again. We hit Debo with a big play. So I kind of think that's where we're at. It hasn't changed my opinion, and I'm not that concerned about the slower start for the Niners.
So what is the if we get that version of the Niners moving forward, I don't think it matters who the running back is at that point, Mike. They should be the favorite in that division right now. However, fluky or not fluky, they were up 23-3 last night in that game and again allowed a team they were better than to get back into it. Does that concern you moving forward with these 49ers?
And one thing that we've seen consistently last year and this year is when Talanoa Hufanga, their star safety, is banged up, they struggle for whatever reason that is. Fred Warner forced a fumble last night, so he's still in playmaking mode. But I think they struggle more with loss of personnel on defense than they do on offense. You saw Shanahan pumping up his fist on the Garendo run. Their blocking scheme works, to your point, regardless of who's in there. I think they struggle a little bit more when some of the QBs or the leaders of the defense are banged up. Bosa, Warner, Hufanga. I think we saw a little bit of that last night. On the Seattle side, to be honest, it's nice that Geno Smith leads the league in passing for him, but not for the team. Kenneth Walker not touching the ball 15 times is a huge negative for this team, and he's only done it once in the four games that he's played. So they need to find a way to balance this more, and obviously the defense is a concern. They gave up 22 points to the Giants offense last week. They give up 36 last night.
Yeah, Geno Smith, the league's leading passer, but 6 touchdowns to also 6 interceptions this year. The 49ers have dealt with some defensive injuries and, of course, some woes on the offensive side of the football from a health perspective. We'll see the status of Jordan Mason moving forward, but Isaac Garendo, the rookie out of Louisville via Wisconsin, not bad so far this season for the Niners as well. Blew it one of the games of the Sunday slate in that afternoon window, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. with America's team and America's game of the week. Maybe I'm talking about the Lions. The Dallas Cowboys, though, hosting Detroit, and yet the Lions, a road favorite at the Star. Highest total of the weekend. The over-under stands at 52.5. How do you break it down?
So, obviously, you don't love laying points as a road favorite. But the Lions are coming off a bye. Dallas still not healthy defensively. The Lions have covered 16 of their last 21, and the Dallas games have played two and over in seven of the last nine. I'm going to play this one as straight as I can see it. I love the Lions coming off a bye. So I like the Lions, and I do like points in this game.
Fortunate, to say the least, for the Cowboys win on Sunday night on the road. Now they're a dog at home with every injury into what was a suspect defense here. Well, what is the ceiling for the Cowboys for you, Mike? I mean, Washington playing, Philadelphia will be better, the Giants. It just feels like that's still a wide-open NFC East.
I think that's fair to say. Washington is clearly the surprise of all of them. You were talking about Philly earlier. You think they'll get a win, so maybe they get back on track coming out of their bye. And with the Cowboys, I think we probably would have sat here a month ago and said, I'm not really sure about the Cowboys for this year. There's a lot of talent, but how much did they do to improve the team, right? It's a good win for them on the road in Pittsburgh, but as you watched and have watched every game this year, Steelers really struggle offensively. They had opportunities to gain ground on the Cowboys in that game, and they just couldn't do it. So they're -3 basically in turnovers on the road. I know the Steelers technically had a turnover on the last play of the game, but the Dallas went on the road -3 in turnovers and got a W. So a good win for them. I thought that their defense stepped up significantly with the guys out and limited the Steelers. And I also thought Dak did a great job of attacking downfield. Yes, the interceptions were bad, but I thought they attacked a good, very good Steelers defense in a proper way. So I don't have that many offensive concerns, especially if Dowdle is able to get going. It's just defensively, one game is good, but can they string it together if these guys are out 4 and 5 weeks? That I'd really be concerned about. And I don't think they'll be able to do it the way they did it on Sunday night against the Steelers when they face the Lions this Sunday.
Some significant injuries for Dallas along that defensive front. The Cowboys over in their first three games this year, under in their two consecutive wins on the road. A huge game right in your viewing window, gents, on Sunday afternoon. A DMV battle between two incredibly exciting quarterbacks. The guy who might win Offensive Rookie of the Year in Jaden Daniels, and the two-time NFL MVP Lamar Jackson. A matchup between two former Heisman Trophy winning QBs. The Ravens have won three straight, Blewett. They're a 6.5-point favorite at home against the Commanders, but Washington's got the better overall record, 4-1, covering in all four wins so far this season. What gives on Sunday in Baltimore?
I think this line tells you how the market feels about both of these teams. Everybody's excited about Jaden Daniels, but the market has not really wavered that much on more. They obviously had the toe out on opening night, and we were stunned to see them 0-2, but they're back to blowing teams out. 6.5 is a lot, is all I'll say. I don't know how well Washington's defense can match up against this Baltimore rushing attack, and that's going to be the thing early in the game. It's why I really like this, Joe, when we talk on Sunday as a live opportunity. I don't want to lay 6.5, but if Washington gets on the board early and we get this down to Baltimore laying 2.5, that's where I'd feel comfortable.
You see the numbers for this game. You see the numbers for the quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels continues his historic start. The only QB in his first five games in NFL history with more than 1,000 passing yards and more than 250 on the ground as well. Lamar Jackson knows a thing or two about being a dual threat and a guy that can do it all in this matchup. More around the Sunday slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quarterback changes, a big theme in a lot of spots on this Sunday slate in week number 6. Let's start with the rookie, the 3rd overall pick for the New England Patriots. Drake May makes his NFL starting debut on Sunday at home in Foxborough against the Houston Texans. It's a 6.5-point spread in favor of Houston on the road. The total is minimal, 37.5. Blewett, I'm not sure there was ever a spot this year that you could point to for Drake May to get his first start for the Pats and say, yep, perfect, he's going to go out there and excel. I just know I don't think this is a very favorable starting debut for May against Houston.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I think they were going to pull the Band-Aid off at some point, but as Joe and I have had an opportunity to watch Jacoby Brissett way too many times this year, it isn't really all on him. But there was a key play last week where they had 3rd and long late in the game. It was a 1-score game. And he, like, threw it away. I'm like, I don't know that this is the kind of play that we want, is somebody just surviving until the next down where we're trying to actually win the football game. So hopefully Drake May could be a little bit more of a playmaker. He's obviously more mobile than Brissett, so maybe he'll be in a position where he can get flushed out of the pocket and run a little bit. He's not Jaden Daniels, clearly, but he might be able to make more plays in that capacity. That said, I think the only way that I would play this one is taking the Patriots under. It's 15.5. I understand it's low, but I think they're going to send the house at him. With him being a rookie, and he's going to be able to, he's going to have to make plays with his legs because this receiving core isn't really much for him. I'd look for him to probably be checking down to tight ends, Hunter Henry and that crew, for the foreseeable future, because the offensive line is as big a problem as Jacoby Brissett was, probably a bigger one.
Yeah, the other problem, too, is Texans are a bottom 5 rushing defense, and we know what New England is going to do rushing the ball, so that'll be extremely interesting. That might be a little closer than anybody wants to admit there for Houston. What are we doing, though, when it comes to Tampa Bay, who unfortunately had to go through the devastation there, that area of the hurricane here? They have been in New Orleans all week. The Bucs, they've got this game coming in. We know New Orleans has got a new quarterback, for better or for worse here. This is a tough spot. You got to think maybe where are the minds of the Tampa Bay Buck players here after this. But they should beat New Orleans, right? Right?
Yes. But both teams have huge changes this week. This feels like, Joe, we have tried to bet the NFC South unders on a regular basis. This one feels like a hard under to me. I think both teams are trying to get through this. New Orleans trying to get it through it with any more significant injuries, getting Rattler in there for the first time to see how he can take over. I'd be worried about Rattler being a turnover guy. We saw a little bit of that in college. Not a little bit of that. We saw a significant amount of that in college at times. The Bucs are starting to get a little healthier defensively. So I think there's a little bit more of a conservative game plan. Maybe you get some Baker magic on the road. He's obviously somebody that can motivate his teammates in tough situations. But this just feels like a low-scoring game. And we talk about it often, divisional home underdogs. This is unique because we have a rookie starting for the first time, but I don't want to bet against that. So again, 3.5 is too many for me to lay. I'll take the under here.
The New Orleans Saints were a dog last week to Kansas City on Monday night. The first time not covering as an underdog so far this season. They were over in their first two games, an offensive juggernaut. They have been under in 2 of their last 3. No passing props listed for this game on either side. because of the rookie Spencer Rattler making his start. I don't disagree with the placement of Rattler as the starter for New Orleans, just intriguing the process. He was the inactive third-string emergency quarterback in the opening 5 weeks of this year. Jake Haener has appeared in 3 games for New Orleans. Blewett, your Steelers will be facing off against a new starting quarterback for the Raiders as well. New, but we have also seen him in spots so far in his NFL career. The Steelers, a 3-point road favorite in Las Vegas against Aiden O'Connell and the Raiders. He gets the start week 6. It was Gardner Minshew getting the starting nod the opening 5 games of this year. O'Connell, though, did play 11 times last year in his rookie campaign out of Purdue. He made 10 starts. The Steelers blew it. Off to a 3-0 start, have dropped 3 in a row. Do they get back on track in Sin City on Sunday?
I think so, but again, the problem with the Steelers is these terrible first half starts. They don't get any drives together. They don't score points in the first half, and then there they are in the second half. Even if they've outplayed the other team, they're in a one-score game in the fourth quarter in every game. So until they start to fix what's plaguing them in the first half and having consistent offense for two halves, that's just where we're going to be. 36.5 is probably a really sharp number. I could see a 20-16 victory right around that number. 20-17 was the score the other night. So I don't know that I'm eager to bet the under. That's the way I would lean. I do think the Steelers go on the road and get this victory. We see them often play down their level of competition, which is concerning. But after a 3-game losing streak, I think they get back on the good foot and create some problems for Aiden O'Connell.
Since the start of 2022, the Steelers have been a good favored side, 10-6 against the spread, but no covers and 2 outright losses as slight favorites each of the past 2 weeks. Quickly here, Blewett, we saw Russell Wilson back at practice fully for the first time in 5 weeks. Will the Steelers also be undergoing a starting quarterback change here soon?
I think if what happened last several weeks happens again, I think they have to consider it. They can't get off to these bad starts. It is causing losses. They can't score in the first half.
Justin Fields has been the guy. Might Russ take over in the next few weeks? That we shall see. A couple of more games to preview to conclude the Sunday slate. Up next, Michael.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Two more games to conclude the entirety of the Sunday slate in week 6, the second weekend of October. Mike Blewett is here for his third consecutive segment. And Blew, the Chargers, one of the 4 teams on the bye in week 5, a time to rest, to get healthier for their quarterback, Justin Herbert, but maybe more importantly on the defensive side of the football and up front for their O-line as well. Because we know what Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman want to do, run the ball and run you to death. Will they be able to do it in Denver with the lowest total of the weekend? The Chargers, a 3-point road favorite in Mile High against a Broncos team that has a winning record because of 3 consecutive victories. 35.5 is that very low total. What happens in Denver on Sunday, Mike Blewett?
You'd have to think that this total makes a lot of sense, right? We're not moving. We're not running the ball up and down the field. We're not going deep with too many targets here. Bo Nix has looked better. I think Sean Payton's team is playing the way he wants them to play. I think we all understand that they have some limitations offensively, but the Denver defense has shown to be a really good unit and is helping them to win games. I like the fact that Los Angeles had a week off, had a chance to get a little bit healthier. And a flat 3 makes a lot of sense here. But again, this is a home divisional dog. I like LA coming off the bye. I think they're going to establish the run. But another situation where I don't want to lay 3 points. The Chargers are one of the least dynamic offensive teams in the league. As you said, Ben, we know what they want to do. They're not shy about it, and they're good at it. Give J.K. Dobbins the over on rushing attempts nearly every week. They're going to try to get there. So I would not lay the three. This is another interesting live betting opportunity. Since I like the Chargers to win, I think I might wait for Denver to score first and come in on the Chargers, maybe look for a middle. But if you're pressing me right now, I would take the 3 points as a divisional home dog. I think Sean Payton is doing a really good job with, I think, something we would all admit is not his best roster. And they've been a competitive team thus far this season.
Yeah, having, I believe, Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt back this week, both starting tackles for the Chargers, will help a lot with how much that team likes the blitz. You mentioned coming off a bye earlier. Well, Tennessee, who I think should have a couple more wins than what they do right now, taking on another banged-up Indy team that lost a heartbreaker in Jacksonville here, Mike. 2.5. This is a big divisional battle here. What do you think we're going to get?
I mean, you and I are going to spend an unusual amount of time on this game on Sunday. I can just tell right now because this is going to be a turnover fest. That's my prediction for this game. We are going to be turning the ball over, and Joe and I are going to be sitting there as we go through our 7 or 8 games saying, what happened now in Tennessee? How does the other team have the ball back again? So take it over on whatever turnovers prop you want to play here. Tennessee shouldn't be a 2.5-point favorite against anybody. I understand why they are, but I think I'll just take the points here and what will, I predict, be the ugliest game of the week.
Yeah, I think it is going to be, but I think the ugliness might actually favor Indianapolis. We're not exactly sure yet who is going to get the start at the QB spot for Indy. Is it the veteran Joe Flacco that almost led the Colts to a dramatic comeback last week in Jacksonville? Or will it be the second-year pro, Anthony Richardson? I will say this, whoever is going to start on Sunday, they're better than Will Levis. Anthony Richardson, though, back at practice, a full participant yesterday. That's a good sign to being back under center. Jonathan Taylor should help as well. All right, Blewett, final minute of this segment. We've gone through all 12 games on Sunday. If you had to share a best bet or an early best bet lean, what would it be?
I think I'll go back to my Pats points under and maybe Ravens team total over. I just think that, like I said earlier, laying the 6.5 is a lot, and maybe we'll find a live betting opportunity. I just think that the Ravens are getting to a point where their offense is cruising right now. I still have some questions about the Commanders defensively in the secondary. Dan Quinn's done a really good job, and they've been pressuring and quarterbacks, but this is Lamar Jackson, and I think that he will create some issues for them. So I kind of like some team total unders and over, but Detroit, probably my favorite of the teams that we went through in my segments here.
Yeah, we've got 2 games with a total of 50 or higher, including a great one in the Charm City. Mike Blewett, we'll see you on Sunday. NFL football in-game live game day. Thanks for your time. Hour 3 up next.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.